Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Tammy Cook is a third grade teacher in Lawrence County, Georgia. Today we're talking about using learning centers in the classroom. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Today I'm talking with Ms. Tammy Cook. Tammy is a third grade teacher at East Lawrence Elementary School in Lawrence County, Georgia. I had the pleasure of watching her teach a couple of times, and I share stories of the way she uses and operates learning centers with colleagues all of the time. The kids in Ms. Cook's class know what they are doing. The transitions are smooth and require minimum redirection by Ms. Cook. She knows her kids. She constantly asks questions that are open-ended and higher order. She works with the kids until they get it. Her centers have student team leaders as well as the kids are expected to do peer evaluations. I love watching the learning that is taking place in Ms. Cook's class. Tammy, say hi to everyone.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity today.
Well, I appreciate you allowing me to disrupt your class and be a fly on the wall in there and disrupt your day again today. So I appreciate that. But
no problem.
Let's get a little background on you. How long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching for 20 years.
Excellent. Congratulations on that. Has it always been third graders and in Lawrence?
No. When I first started teaching, I taught in Wilkinson County, which is in Irvington, Georgia. I taught there for 9 years, and my experience was with third and fifth grade. Then I've been teaching at East Lawrence Elementary, which is in East Dublin, Georgia, Lawrence County, for 11 years, and that's where I'm currently working.
Excellent. Thanks. What do you like about working with kids?
Well, I like inspiring students to work to their full potential. I love seeing their happiness when they reach goals. It touches my heart to see them enjoy learning. And my students' energy and enthusiasm inspires me.
Excellent. And I can see that. And what's really cool is that, now you're working with third graders, and you're talking to somebody who, don't get me wrong, I coached soccer, and I coached elementary school kids in soccer, and I've worked with third graders before, but most of my career was with high schoolers, all right? And so I look at the patience that a elementary teacher needs to have in third grade. There's a lot of energy there, so I see that patience. That some of them want to ask you questions, and some of them want to go different directions and stuff. So, very cool. And I would think that in working with third graders, sometimes there might be some difficult aspects to it. What would you consider something like that?
Well, the difficulties for the actual career, I would say right now with most teachers, is the stress of the Georgia Milestone Test. I feel that sometimes with testing, we look at that, and I know that it is a requirement, and it does hold us accountable as teachers and as students, so it is needed. But I feel like sometimes that we need to look at the students' progress during the school year in the classroom as well and weigh it as much. Because sometimes you don't see that. For example, if you have a third grader that comes that's on a first grade reading level and you are working with them with reading skills all year and you get them to the beginning of third grade, when they take that test, it's basically the whole third grade year. So you may see that they struggle with that test and not see their growth as far as what the classroom, what's going on in the classroom.
Yeah, I got you there. Sometimes kids, you're bringing them up, you're accelerating their learning, and you're getting them, and you're excited about where they are.
Yes, yes.
But it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to pass the test.
Exactly, but we hope they do. We hope they do.
Right.
Some other things that I see with third grade, with their struggles that I work with basically all year, is with the organization skills and good study habits, because when they're coming to third grade, they learn a lot more independence, and so they have to learn those skills pretty quick to keep up with the rigor of the classroom work. So that's something we work on, and you really, as a teacher, have to have some techniques in place to help those students with those skills at the very beginning of the year, so they'll be ready and make it through.
So actually what you're telling me is that you have some kids who everything just kind of gets stuffed in the book bag, and then you have other
yes.
kids that might have tabs and everything, right?
Yes, and a paper trail sometimes follows them. You're like, oh, let me get that with you. Put it in the right place.
That's funny. I would be the stuff the papers in the book bag kid, all right? So let's talk instruction. You use centers masterfully. Why do you use learning centers?
Well, several reasons. Centers provide for me, they create rigor in my classroom, which is something we're really focusing on this year, making things, you know, more challenging for the students, making them think more, help promote a love for learning. You know, centers are fun, and of course, I love them, and so do the students. Promote higher thinking skills, engage my students. Using hands-on experience, you can't go wrong with that. Students love it. And just create a positive learning environment is what really pushes me to do centers in my room, all those things.
Awesome. What I want to do is I want to talk a little about your setup of the centers, because you have buckets, work pouches. I love the work pouches, by the way. We'll get
thank
to that
you,
in a little bit. There is, you know, you have some sort of color coding going on here. You have captains. There's a time frame for being in the centers. Tell us about your structure.
Okay. For my centers, I do use color for basically everything. It just helps keep the kids organized, and it helps me organize my materials. I have a place in the room set aside, and I have a bookshelf, and on that bookshelf is where I keep the colored baskets, and that's where I place all the activities for the centers for that week. It's easy for the kids to get to. It's easy for me to put the materials in that area, and the students know where to go. I have usually four or five activities for the week. They usually center around technology as one of the centers, writing, because that's something we're really practicing for the Georgia Milestone, vocabulary skills, and usually one of the centers centers around math or a science skill that we're working on. I use the four colors for each basket, and those four colors are for the pouches that they wear, and also for their team. And speaking of the pouches that you mentioned, one of my students the other day just touched my heart. I really didn't realize what an impact it made on them, but one of the little girls in my class said, I just can't wait to be the leader and wear that pouch. I'm so excited about being the leader and having that wear. So it just made me feel so good. And I basically got the pouches from Home Depot for about 88 cents, and we spray painted the front of them. And I was like, well, that was sure worth $2 just to hear that from a student.
And that's what I was going to ask you. I thought they looked familiar pouches. And
yes.
And so that was awesome. And that's incredible, because I wondered if the kids really look forward to having the chance to wear those.
Definitely. It just makes them feel important, you know, to have that. And it's also a good place to store little things that you're going to be doing with the centers that the captain's responsible for. So just, you know.
Well, I noticed, you know, the last time I was in your class, when, you know, a couple of them, they're pulling markers out of their pockets, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they got little things in there, and the kids would ask them for something, and they pull it out of the pouch pocket, which I thought was cool.
Sir,
so
yes.
I love that. So you have wonderful transitions into and out of the centers. Matter of fact, you know, one of the things I saw you do is, like, you play music, mm-hmm. and you tell them, wait for the music. All right.
Yes.
We don't move until the music plays. And then once the music plays, then they have a short period of time in which to then get into the center. Can you talk about how you teach the kids, how to do this? How you want, you know, how do you get them to do what you want them to do?
Well, I will tell you, it will not happen overnight. Definitely takes a lot of practice and a lot of planning on the teacher's part. What I usually do for centers, because, you know, I teach science, of course, and math, so I'm real big into centers with those activities because of the hands-on part of it. I feel like that it usually takes about 2 to 3 weeks, good 2 to 3 weeks to practice. So what I do is I set up what I call a little mock center, and centers for the time, and it's just basic, easy things for them to do that I know they can handle coming into third grade. Basically, you have second grade skills there, because I'm not focusing on what they're doing in the center at that time. I'm teaching them procedures. I'm teaching them what their job is as a captain, you know, where the centers are located, what's going to be required when they get in that center, how to evaluate yourself, you know, how to behave, what's your behavior going to be like in the center, consequences for positive behavior and negative behavior. So they are very aware before we start doing anything, especially if I'm going to grade it in a center activity. They know what to do, they know where to go, where the materials are, and what is expected of them. It helps make my job a lot easier with centers, and it also makes it more enjoyable for the students.
Oh, excellent. You know, and it's and you can see it when you watch the kids working it. You can tell that they know the routine, mm-hmm. and they know what your procedures are, and it is totally routine to them. So they go get what they're supposed to. They move to where they're supposed to be. The mm-hmm. captains who know who they are, and they go get their pouches, and they set up the stuff they need to, and so forth. And you see that happening, which with very little, I mean, I didn't really see you need to redirect anybody except just to remind them they only have so long to make the change.
So, yes. Well, and I wanted to say too, if you, to iterate that, you know, if you're a new teacher and you're starting centers and you're practicing them and you see that things are not working, when I started centers, they didn't always work the way I wanted them to. It does take a lot of practice, but don't give up. Keep trying, keep practicing, and something may work today that does not work tomorrow. You have to be flexible and be willing to change it and keep going, you know, and show the kids, you know, that you know, it's okay to make mistakes in centers, that, you know, that's a part of it, you know. We're learning together and to make it a smooth process, and just later on you'll just see how much better things are after all that practice and all that hard work.
That's excellent. And I do have to say this, it's neat because you had Chromebooks, and so one of the groups.
Yes, that's my technology.
And one of the things I thought was cool was that as they're getting they didn't all go to the table to get the Chromebooks. One of the students went to the table,
yes.
And you have the accessories that go with the Chromebook in plastic baggies.
Yes.
So the plastic baggies are there plus the Chromebooks. And so there wasn't like this mad rush to go. Everyone from that group has to go get their own. You know, there was a student or two that went and got them for the table.
Yes. Yes, that's usually part of the captain's job. They have a lot of responsibilities. One of the things that they do is, you know, first of all, the students all get a turn at being a captain, you know. So everybody gets that experience and is held accountable for those rules and those, you know, steps. But when you're a captain, you are responsible for getting the materials. You have to make sure that the materials are cleaned up at the end and they're back organized for the next class. You have to make sure that, you know, things are put back in the right place, and you have to know where the materials are. So I try to keep them all in one place, but if I ever change the place, like for the Chrome notebooks, I make sure that before center starts that my captains are aware of where the materials are, where they need to go if it's a different place. But I usually try to keep everything in the same place, so it just helps. It just helps with organization and time management.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you could tell. I mean, it didn't take them long. They knew what they were doing with them. And so you didn't have this, like, mad rush, and then, which means that there's a possibility of something getting broken and dropped.
Chaos.
Right. Chaos ensues.
Yes.
So very cool. So how much planning and organization goes into developing your activities for the centers? I mean, how often do you use this strategy also?
Well, you definitely have to plan ahead. And that's with anything with teaching, you know, even when you're making your plans for the week, you always have to plan ahead and pull things and get them ready. I don't like to walk in on Monday and try to gather things up. It just makes my day crazy. So usually if I'm having centers the next week, the week before I'm planning them, I'm getting all the materials together, I'm putting them in the baskets and organizing them, making my copies, all the things that I need for the students. So that is always done ahead of time. And it just depends on what you're doing as to how much time it's going to take you to do it. Sometimes I have to do it after school. Sometimes I can get it done during planning. It just depends on what's going on and what I need at the time. I usually do centers every week, and I set them up different. Sometimes I have centers, you know, where I have four different centers and we rotate to all four centers in one day. Now, that's a smaller time frame. So, of course, you need to take that into consideration when you're planning the activity. If it's something that's going to take longer, like what you observed with the fossils, that one definitely took a little bit more time. So I had to set it up to where they would do one center per day because we had some other things in class we had to take care of. So that's usually about 20, 25 minutes, and then we're putting it up and getting ready for the rest of our lesson. So it's usually every week I'm doing something different, and I also do, if for me, and this is just me personally, I teach math and science. I don't really like to have centers in both subjects on the same day because it's just too much for the kids at this time. So I usually try to do like centers in science at the beginning of the week, centers in math at the end of the week, so that we have centers in both subject areas for the week, and it covers that, but it's not all at the same time. And it usually helps me with preparation time. It didn't take as long because I can get one set ready and then have a little bit of time during the week to get the other set ready.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. One of the things that I noticed that you do is while the kids are working in their centers, you're walking around, you're among them. You're not going back to your desk or something like this. You're walking amongst the kids and you're asking questions of the kids, but you have a clipboard and you're making notes on it. What are you doing?
Well, I try to be a facilitator during center time, which means I am walking around and interacting with the centers and not behind my desk. I feel like it helps with behavior management if I'm walking around. The clipboard that I have, and I recently went to a workshop and got this idea from another teacher, is a chart that I made, and it has my collected data on it. It has my star reading and math scores, my Lexile scores, and it has an area for comments for each student. So all my students' names are on this chart with their data. It helps me because I can look back at this data and tell, okay, where's my student at with the reading level? You know, they're in this reading center today. I might need to guide them a little bit more or put them with a peer. So the data is for that, for me, to look as I'm walking around, so I don't have to look in a million places to find all this information. It's in one place for me. And I usually make several copies of it so I can use it over and over again till the data changes when they test again. I use the comment area for different things. If I'm walking around and like yesterday we had a center with fossils and the word was excavate. They didn't know what that word meant, so I wrote that word down to make sure that I covered it with that center and then again with the class at the end of center time. If I see that they're doing a very good job on something and they're you know, they need an enrichment with it because they're ready to move on, I'll make jot a note down about that, or remediation if they need a review, so that I know that the next week or the next time I do centers, I may need to have a little teacher center where I pull those students over and help them with those skills if they need it. So it's basically to help me document instant data on how we're doing, what struggles we have, what accomplishments are we making, and anything else that I need to make a little special note at the end. Hey, Johnny, you did a great job today centers. I saw you on task. You know, I make comments about behavior. So it's all kinds of data I'm collecting at that time, and it's right there for me for the day, what I've done.
That's excellent because, you know, it obviously lots of things happen during the day. Yes. So if you were trying to remember later, you may or may not remember
exactly
what was going on. So excellent use of the chart and so forth. And something else that was really cool is, and you start from the beginning reminding them that they have these peer evaluations that they do.
Yes.
And they have to complete the evaluation, and the captains have to complete evaluation, and their peers have to complete evaluations on them.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Why and what it is that they're doing?
Well, they're little slips that are in the work pouch that the captain carries, and I try to make different ones at each center so that it's not the same. When you first start practicing, though, they all need to be the same. Till they get used to filling out that evaluation. It lists where they're at the time, how they did that day, how was your performance. It's just about four or five questions. I've used some that use ratings with numbers. A three is a good. The two, I need to work on some things. The one, of course, would be I did poorly today. Also, there's one with smiley faces, straight faces, and frowny faces. So it's just a quick way for them to hold themselves accountable for how they performed in the center that day. And it just shows that, you know, them that, hey, you know, I worked toward my goals and I accomplished them. One of the things at the end of the center is, next time I will. This is a statement that's open-ended that they have to fill in, and they have to put a statement about, you know, is this something I need to change that I did today? Or is this something I did really well and I need to try it again next time? So it just helps guide them into their movement through the centers. They do one at every center. And then on the back, that is their personal evaluation of themselves. And then the captain turns their slip over and puts a little smiley face, straight face, or frowny face to let me know what their observations were for the students on the team. And someone also evaluates the captain. So it's just a way to help with behavior. It makes them more aware of how they've behaved in the center and their accomplishments.
Excellent. I love it. And you could tell they were asking for their little sheets and the captains were giving those out and they were ready to do them. So I thought that was pretty cool. At the conclusions of the activities, you use sticky notes. Now I love sticky notes and I so wish when I taught that they existed. But you had the kids write something on that they learned. Why do you do this?
Well, I do it as part of, like I said, an accountability measure. It's just to let them be more aware of, okay, I'm going to be expected at the end of this to list some things that I've learned today. So I need to really focus on what I'm doing. I need to make sure that I have, you know, a thought that this is what I'm going to be listing today. They already know that expectation. The captains give them their sticky note. They write down one thing that they learn, and they share it in their team. So the captain calls a name, and then that person shares one thing they learn. And it sort of summarizes what's going on in the center for everybody because all their ideas are not the same. It's a differentiation technique because they'll all share different things that they've learned, and it'll also help some students. Well, you know, I missed that, but now that you've mentioned it, I do remember doing that. So it just goes back over the material again in a quick way.
Awesome. I love it. And you could see they were ready to do them. I thought that was pretty cool. So,
and one of the things that a teacher can use that for is more data. You know, they can take the sticky notes up and say, well, I see that, you know, this student struggled with this. Next time I need to make sure, you know, that I do a little small lesson on that and make sure that we, you know, cover the things. It's just for students' needs.
That's excellent.
My main focus.
And I thought one of the things that was cool was that there were a couple of students that, that if you're not walking around and talking with them, you know, you would not notice that there are a couple of them that were struggling to I don't know what to write. And so you asked them questions. You didn't tell them what to write. You asked them questions to get them to start thinking about, oh, there's something I could write about.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty cool. You played that facilitator role really well
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell me, what do you think the secret ingredient is to making learning centers work?
It takes time management. It takes preparation in advance and just a lot of practice. That's the main thing. You know, the students, they have to practice these procedures for a while and just, you know, being dedicated to it. You know, you need to be dedicated to finding these great things, these plans. They're out there, you know, teachers, they say borrow, beg, and steal, and they do, and I'm one of them.
Nice.
So I've gotten a lot of my ideas from other teachers and, you know, different resources that have just helped me. I mean, I've built it along the way, you know, in my years of teaching, and you will do that. You'll learn what works and what doesn't and what works for you, and it's just a part of doing that, taking the time to, you know, research and find these things and share these ideas with your team. And collaboration is a lot of it too. So just being willing to dedicate the time for that and the planning.
Excellent. And you know, and it's interesting because like you said, it takes that planning and that time.
Definitely.
And so in order to do those things, then you've got to work with, you know, the kids understanding that there's ways of doing this. Here are my procedures and this is how I do it and working with them and practicing that. So, and it shows because the kids know where the stuff is. I watched them. I mean, they are in third grade and they are set about making sure that they go do what they're supposed to do during that time, which is really nice. And that comes with that practice.
Thank you. And it teaches them the big skill, the responsibility. That is something we work with all year, and centers definitely gets them ready with that skill and teaches them that skill, and they have to show it. You know, they have to actually do the things and be responsible and learn that, you know.
That's excellent. Tammy, it was awesome to watch you work with the kids and to see them engaged in learning during your centers because they were engaged. And by the way, it was making me hungry, the excavating chocolate chips.
We always like food when we're learning.
It's nice to be able to have edible things to excavate. The whole activity was near and dear to my heart because you're talking to someone as a child who wanted to be a paleontologist. So I love the whole Jurassic World type thing thoughts. But the idea of what you were doing in there was really cool and reinforcing what they were trying to learn. As we draw to a close, I have two more questions I'd like to ask all my guests.
Okay.
And so here we go. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
A couple of things. First, get to know your students and collect data on them, and not just in the classroom. You know, get to know them a little bit on a personal level. It helps you get to know them. It helps you with working with them. And it's helpful when you're planning and when you conference with them and talk with them and let them share their ideas. That's a big thing, just letting them take the time in class to share how they feel about things, you know, and lets you know how to make adjustments in your room to make it better. Being organized and being prepared is two big skills teachers have to have. So when you're planning things, just make sure you take that into consideration, putting things back where they belong so you can find them and your kids can find them. Create a happy learning environment. You know, that's one of the most important things. And that's one of the things I remember as a child growing up, that, you know, the classrooms that were positive and fun and it was, you know, enjoyable to learn in there. You'll make such an impact on your students by having that in your room. Get to know your coworkers, and not just your teachers on your grade level, your lunchroom staff, your custodial staff. All these people are in place, and they're wonderful resources. Teachers that are on your grade level, get together with them. Make plans together. Put your lessons together with them. We're here to benefit the students, so that's the goal. And so if you do it together, you're helping everybody in third grade, not just your class. So I say that's one of the biggest things, and that is the best resource you will have, is to be able to have the teachers go to them, ask them questions. This did not work out. What do I need to do? Especially if you're a new teacher. There's a lot of teachers around you that are more than willing to help you. Just get to know them. And that's basically it. Get to know your staff that you work with every day.
That's awesome advice. And by the way, all of that is so true. And I got to tell you, the custodians, if you get to know them, they will save you.
Yes, they will save you.
And they will help you.
They will look out for you.
Exactly. They will look out for you. And it's, you know, that's something that, because too often they become invisible in the building to many adults. And, and they shouldn't be that way. And you want to get to know them, because I love that advice, because that is so true. They will, you just never know when.
You never know when you're going to need them. Yeah. And when you need them, you usually need them right then.
Yes. So just take care of them. Remember them at the holidays too.
Holidays. That's right.
So my last question is, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? And if given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Well, thinking this question over, if you will allow me, I have a couple of teachers that I just want to mention.
Go right ahead.
Because they really made an impact on me and the reason why I'm a teacher today. I had two math teachers in high school. One was Laverne Travick and Melanie Smith. Math was not, at the time when I was young, a favorite subject, so I struggled. So these two teachers, they just went above and beyond to work with me, to build my confidence with that skill, and they just made it a fun thing to learn. And it just really encouraged me to do my best and to work to my potential. Two other teachers that I want to mention, Hugh Kite and Larry Rowland. They were also high school teachers, and they always motivated me. They always inspired me to be confident and independent, and they just always came in with a wonderful sense of humor. So learning was always fun in these four teachers. Now, I have several throughout the years that, you know, have impacted my life and have made, you know, a difference in my life, but those are four that come to mind that I just remember from high school, just really helping me through those high school years, you know, which are tough anyway.
That's so awesome. You know, and it's interesting, because I'm a firm believer that as a teacher, kids need that adult, that teacher in that building that connects with them, or
definitely,
for some reason they have a synergy that works to help them get through.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, they might be the only positive impact in their lives. You don't know what's going on at home, so that sometimes can make a difference, just being that positive person they see every day at school, you know.
So right. Tammy, thank you so much for sharing with us. I greatly appreciate you allowing me, like I said earlier, to be that fly on the wall in your classes. Your kids were awesome. They let me be there. And there's a visitor. Okay, we're good. and taking some time to share with us about learning centers. I appreciate it. All the best to everything that you do, and keep up the good work. And thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Appreciate it.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.